Dawn.
Yes, John.
Yes, John.
You're not just here for announcements. I'm excited. We've been asking folks to tell their testimony of Jesus, a time in their life where Jesus has been champion. And that wasn't always true for you. I know just from knowing just a little bit of your story, but at some point Jesus became, like, he just transformed your life.
Yes.
And so what's it been like for Jesus to be your champion?
Well, I wrote it down, because if I don't, I would be all over the place forgetting what I want to say. My name's Dawn Smith. I'm married to the handsome man right there, Jeff.
Woo!
36 years strong. And, yeah, that's a miracle in itself, isn't it, in this day and age? And we have 5 children and 8 grandchildren. And I have to put on my glasses to read this. Last week, Noemi shared a very real struggle with feeling like she had no right to share Jesus, because she thought that breaking the law and coming to America as an illegal immigrant disqualified her. Well, I too have just for years lived as one who believed I really wasn't worthy of love because of the choices that I had made. Growing up in an alcoholic, sexually abusive home set the stage for all kinds of bad choices as a teenager, and ultimately a teenage pregnancy. But God. But God. At 15, I asked Jesus into my heart for the first time, and I embraced him as my Savior. My spirit was born again, but my mind, my will, and my emotions needed to be transformed by his word. And that's a process of sanctification. I didn't know I was loved at 15 unconditionally, because I'd never experienced that before. So I spent the next few years trying to please God and measuring up, but never could. And when I would mess up from the bad habits of my past, I believed I'd fail God and he was mad at me. And so I'd live in a roller coaster of God loves me today. Oh, I screwed up. Well, God doesn't love me. And that was a lot of work, and it was terrible. I was miserable and full of guilt and shame. And so when I got pregnant at 19, that only confirmed what a failure I was. How could God love me? I screwed it up. But God.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the state of being so messed up, a teenage pregnant girl, he relentlessly pursued me. And I mean relentlessly. He put people in my life. I lived in a home for pregnant girls. I was the oldest one. There was a girl there who was 13, and I thought, well, my life's not too bad, but it was pretty bad. And he had a Christian who was a nurse working at this home, and it was a Bible sitting on the nurse's station table, and I thought, well, that's not coincidence. And she became my coach and helped me through my delivery. He never let go of the mess that I was. And he has so patiently worked and is working to make me the woman I am today. He really did give me his identity. And that truth alone has set me free from judging myself, walking in guilt and shame, and even actually liking myself. That took 50 years. But hey, I like myself now. That's a miracle. Not that you like me, but that's a miracle. That in itself is a miracle. His love is so attractive, I'm compelled. I am compelled to be with him every day. Even if it's not for very long, sometimes it is, and we linger together. That's a giant step in the other direction from the religion, the legalism of religion that kept me trying to be loved by God, trying to please him. He's my champion, and I'm his princess, cherished and wanted, mess ups and all.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm kind of speechless. You are wonderful. This testimony is just, it's amazing. But as you're talking, I'm also just overwhelmed by just like a heaviness of the power of God that's in the room right now. And I'm not sure just how to respond, except I think that there's, why is it so important that you feel like this story of Jesus being your champion be shared today?
Because
unless we know him and know his unconditional love, not based on our performance, not based on us trying to keep the rules, unless we experience his love personally in our own life, we spend our whole life trying to please people, trying to be approved, trying to accomplish something we think that's going to bring us satisfaction, when all that does is just not enough. It's never enough. But that unconditional love of God that says, I want you. I don't care where you are in your journey. I don't care what you've done. I want you. I have a plan and a purpose for you. Come to me. Trust me. Trust me. I'm good. I'm good for you. I've never done anything to hurt you. People will hurt you, but God will not ever hurt you. And so we need that needs to be shared. People need to know that no matter what they do, God is for them. And if he's for you, who can be against you? He didn't spare his only son, but gave him up freely. Won't he, with Jesus, freely give you everything
Amen.
You need?
Yes.
Everything. But it's a journey.
There are some of you just feeling this deep inside. Like this was, like you feel like Don is speaking, like right in, like Jesus is just hitting your heart right now. Would you just stand? We're going to go off script for just a minute. Would you just stand up? Yeah. Yeah. And then, you're the prayer team right now. Just go right now. Let's just begin to pray and minister to these folks right now. Just go ahead. Just as you feel, just go to where you feel. And we're just going to allow for the Holy Spirit to move. He's doing something right now. If you see somebody standing, they don't have somebody praying for them, just go. And don't give them any advice. Just begin to pray. Blessing. Just listen. There's some folks standing around. Raise your hand if you don't have anybody praying for you yet. You need somebody to pray for you. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 It's just so critical. Church can be a really dangerous room to be in. like, fun dangerous. Like, you just don't know if God's gonna touch you. And so I really felt like God was doing something. And I want to make sure we were paying attention to it and allowing him to minister where he was wanting to minister. Life's just too short to not take the opportunity to just pause and allow for God to do what he wants to do, because transformation doesn't come through our work. It comes through his power and his love. And God, so we're just so thankful for all that you've already been up to. Thank you so much, Jesus. Now I'm like totally off script. Like, I don't know. I've got the sermon and I'm not sure where to go with it. I really feel like God, like, his presence here is just, I'm just going to wait for just a minute. I don't think so either. Yeah, would you come, Jan? Just help. Grab a mic and let's just. There, I think there could be just some prophetic words that. Let's okay. You know, let's put those up on the screen. There was a team that was praying for folks this morning. What Jan had said is that I don't think we're done with ministry time yet, and I completely agree. The sermon was so good, y'all. I mean, you're not going to hear it.
There's always next week, John.
There's plenty of time for me to speak. I want the Lord to speak. Someone who has tight muscles between their shoulder blades, let's just keep going. If this is you, would you stand up? Tight muscles in their shoulder blades. Let's just let go ahead. Shays, go ahead. Somebody surround Shay, begin to pray for her. If you feel like you've been wading through spiritual mud, is that speaking to you? Spiritual mud, go ahead. Yeah, just begin to pray. I'm sorry, y'all. If this is your first time at church, we're totally off script. We have not done this to try to impress anybody this morning. We're just trying to listen. If you've been asking for provision, God's gifts will be like a sticky note. Come for prayers. Who's that? Just stand up. You've been asking for provision. The sticky note thing. That's you. Stand up. Yeah. Okay, just surround them. Thank you, Lord. I love when God speaks. It's really fun. And we're just taking a risk. But he's here, and so we might as well just go for it.
So just because people are standing doesn't mean the Lord has left you out. So what I'd like to do is, if you would just refocus your attention, not on what's going on, but just on Jesus himself. If you want to, it's perfectly acceptable to visualize Jesus as you close your eyes, visualize him in front of you. I have a good friend of mine who likes to visualize Jesus in a pair of old jeans and a t-shirt, you know. So however you want to do that, but let's just invite Holy Spirit to come and speak individually to us as we focus our attention on him and not necessarily on what's going on here, okay? So, Jesus, we love you, and therefore we love your presence because it gives us peace. And we find rest. Come, Holy Spirit, bring the presence of Jesus to us. More, Lord. More of your mercy towards us.
There's someone who's beginning to feel that in their heart right now, even. There's like a warmth. It's just, you're just feeling like you're overheating right now in your heart. Will you stand up if that's you? Yeah, just someone begin to surround Rosa here, just begin to pray for her.
Is there someone who feels like there's some sort of metal band around your head, like a vice around your head? I don't know if it's a headache or if it's more like spiritual kind of thing.
I think it's somebody with migraines.
Oh, migraines?
Somebody struggling with migraines. You just suffer with migraines a lot. Just stand up. Here we go. It's funny, so today's scripture is Acts 1 and 2, where the Holy Spirit came and the church began. So we're just going to do Acts 1 and 2 this morning, if that's right. We don't have to. I am going to read it, though. I get the sense that the Lord wants to do something in that. Go ahead.
There's someone who really needs the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You really need the comfort of a human. And so if you're experiencing loss, disappointment, feeling like nobody is supporting you, you don't have the kind of emotional support you need, Jesus is here and he wants to put a warm blanket around you and be with you in the middle of that.
So during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared, this is Jesus, to the apostles from time to time, which just had to be awkward, just from time to time. He popped in. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised." Oh, I think that's something for somebody this morning. Don't leave this morning until you get the gift that he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those times and dates. They're not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in San Antonio, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud, and while they were watching, they could no longer see him. Acts 2 begins like this. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm. And this is what I was feeling as Dawn was sharing her testimony. There was just something rocking in the room, like God's power and presence is really strong. I mean, it's always strong. You just get the sense like there's a special visitation he's doing this morning. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. "What you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel," Peter said. "In the last days," God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I'll pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark. The moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." There are some of you, as Ministry Shem was going on, we were starting to just to name and there some things that we thought that the Lord was doing in the room. You were getting some impressions of things that were going on in the room, but you didn't say them because you've never really done that before. This is actually super weird to you, and that's fine. A lot of churches don't operate like this at all because it's just not shiny, and it's uncomfortable, and you're taking risks, and you don't know if it's God's voice or if it's your voice. And we just kind of live in the tension of that. For the sake of God speaking to people, because once God speaks to you, there's just no comparison. if you were starting to get impressions as we started giving those words, would you stand up? And if that's just something new to you, you feel like God was giving you new gifts, like the scripture was just saying, prophetic gifts. You were starting to feel heat on your hands even, like maybe like a healing gift. If that was you, would you just stand up? Just take a risk this morning. You got one in the back. Who else? I feel like there were three. As those words, there's two. There were prophetic words, and you started getting impressed. Just a sense of an impression of what the Lord was doing in the room. Would you guys that feel pretty confident in your giftings, in your identity in Jesus, begin to just pray for these guys? Just go for it. I feel like God is not only wanting to minister to the people in this room in a special way, he's also wanting to impart new gifts. This is a weirder one. Even the scripture says it's weird. The scripture basically says, don't do this in a church service. But if you do, to really explain it well, and it's that gift of tongues that was talked about here. This was speaking in different languages. There's a context there. There's also a gift of tongues that's just for the sake of edification. And so many of us like to be seen as pretty shiny, good people, especially in church. Going to church just feels like, oh man, I better look my best. And God began, as stuff was going on in the room, there was like almost like a vibration on your tongue going on. And you were like, what on earth is that? And this, you heard the scripture about tongues. And you're like, I don't know if what I was feeling was that. Would you just stand up? We're just going to take a risk on that. Someone was getting the gift of tongues, but you just didn't know what to do with it. And you're super, super scared because you're afraid that if somebody prays for you, they're going to start speaking in tongues in public. And that just super weirds you out. Would you just stand up, take a risk this morning? Herschel's getting nervous because I'm looking at him. Okay, friends. Gosh, I really, really want to shut this down because it just feels so unsettling to me right now. And the Lord just does, like I feel like a clench in my jaw every time I want to. I'm just going to give you the bits of the sermon and bless you to leave. And the Lord's like, yeah, good for you. I want to do something else. Karina, there's a song we should have on the computer there. It's called 10,000 Reasons. Would you just put it up on the screen, please? Just the chorus. Ethan, would you help me just with a key up here? Again, I think sometimes we engage in these places and our tendency is to lean serious because life is often serious, and the Lord leans the other way. Like if you read the scripture about angels and their activity, it's all about worship and joy and don't be afraid. And yeah. Yeah. Let's just sing this chorus together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Continue to sing, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Shout him.
Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. Worship
God gave me a word during scripture, or during worship, that I wasn't sure about. I'm going to read it, but I'm going to share what he told me afterwards. It's out of Acts, and it says, "So at daybreak the apostles entered the temple, and as they were told, they immediately began teaching. When the high priest and his officials arrived, they convened the high council, the full assembly of the elders of Israel. Then they sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail for trial. But when the temple guards went to the jail, the men were gone. So they returned to the council and reported. The jail was securely locked with the guards standing outside. But when we opened the gates, no one was there. When the captain of the temple guard and the leading priests heard this, they were perplexed, wondering where it would all end. Then someone arrived with startling news. The men you put in jail are standing in the temple teaching the people." So God told me, he said, he's leading us and that we're not to be afraid. Mm-hmm. We need to trust him. We need to follow his direction and his path. Listen to his words because he has our back. He's lighting our way. But we have to look. We have to open our eyes, and we just have to look. We have to trust him. And this was the greatest thing he said to me. You will see miracles. So trust him. He has wonderful gifts for us. Step out and take a chance, like John's saying. Step out.
So it's possible that your mail wasn't read this morning. You didn't. Your lottery number wasn't called or whatever. Two things. If you are getting a sense that, as the scripture was talking about, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, you feel like, I've never felt the power of God like that before, but I'm really hungry for it. Just begin to come forward. Just begin to come forward. Just line up right here. We're just going to just take a risk. Just take a risk. Come on up. Don't worry. You're not going to be put on display. God's not going to embarrass you. Just take a risk. Just come on up. If there's anything else that needs prayer, or if you want to be prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit, just come on up. Oh, great. Just come. Just come.
You don't know me. Most of you don't. My name is Bill Laswell. And I've known Jesus since I was 17. I've served him since I was 17. And I would say that the last year of my life, I've experienced more transformation, more miracles, more of the deconstruction of what I thought was being a Christian, and something powerful and wonderful and new and different is available for all of us. So, although I have a lot of history with Jesus, I know that I'm just at the beginning of that. So I want to encourage, if you think there should be more, then come get more.
Yeah. Just come line up, y'all.
You know, if you think there's more, then come get more.
Just come line up.
Why would we settle for less than more? And so I want to encourage you. 2 weeks ago, Julio's brother prayed for the vertebrae in my neck that were going to have to be replaced. Today I have no pain. Instantly, no pain. But that's nothing. That's just everyday business of the people of Jesus. And that's what we're charged to be about. That's the beauty of it. So if you want more, whatever it looks like, anything is better.
See these guys lined up. Just raise your hand if you're wanting prayer, if you're wanting more. And then there ain't no special anointing you need to pray for somebody to receive the Holy Spirit. Just come and begin to pray for them. To differentiate, make sure you're raising your hand if you're wanting prayer so that folks can surround you and just begin to pray for you. So as folks are still receiving prayer, we do have to shut down the audio. And there's some of you that are just ready for lunch. This has been about enough for you. And so I want to bless you right now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that you would go out filled with the Holy Spirit, attentive to His voice, attentive to His presence, that you would receive a fresh impartation of His love, and that that would overflow for the sake of the world. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.